Come on. I don't know. I just feel like there's an excitement in the room today. It's like they call it a buzz, and so excuse me if I like start jumping or anything. I'm just very excited for what the Lord is going to come do today. And so I want to start off somewhere. Can we put on Galatians 2 verse 20 and then onwards, please? And so Galatians read, it says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And that first part, my old self has been crucified with Christ. When we say that, it's not that we hold two boats, we hold two ropes. It is, my old self is gone. It's garbage. It's there. And I'm running towards Christ. I'm running towards him with all my faith and with all my trust in him. And with faith speaking, I want to go onwards from there. Then ask, what is our faith built on? Because when we say, my old self has been crucified, we can't say that it's built on what we did, what we used to do, the old stuff. It is built on him now. And then we want to go a bit further and say, what is genuine faith then? Because if you say we have genuine faith, our desire is him. And it's not the things of the world. It is not. It can be so easy that it can be built on the church, built on this environment, because it's all lacquer. Like, it's lacquer. Like, we saw worship was good and he was here. But when we leave this building, then we just go back to normal. Then we forget. It's like Jesus shop. And then I'm back at my old work. I'm going. And then Sunday again, yo, Lord, I'm here. And then Monday, your work. Lord, just hold on quickly. And then we say, when we have genuine faith, it should be built on him. So when we walk out this door, it's like, your Lord, you're leading me. I'm just walking. I'm following. Nothing can stop me. Because we know the enemy is deceptive. We know he wants any slight door he gets. He wants to come and enter. He wants to come and say, I want to get a hold of this life. Because this life is precious to the Lord. Because he loves each and every one of us. And he wants us to know him. And with genuine faith. And now I'm starting with my actual preach. So I got this picture when I went to Rian. I got this picture of a snake wrapping itself around a person. And it started suffocating this person. And we know the world as it is right now, the news and everything, it's suffocating. So when our faith is not intact, when we don't have genuine faith, we're going to suffocate. And when we build it on the wrong things, a church culture, church environment, on a person, on a preacher, on a single worship set, it's not going to last. It's not sustainable. Spiritually, we're going to dry up, and then spiritually, we're going to die as well if it's not built on him alone. And then I want to go to the next scripture. It's in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. So it goes on from there. 2 Corinthians, as I say. It says, "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." And this examining is not about condemning ourselves and being like, oh, shucks. Okay, where can I quickly scuttle to get salvation? Or what can I do to get this gift of God? Like, can I work myself up? It's not about that. When we examine ourselves, it is not about condemning ourselves. It is about saying, okay, Lord, where is my faith based on? What is my faith? Is it genuine faith? Or is my faith convenient for myself? Is it just convenient for a Sunday and a Wednesday? And then it's sharp. But we say when we have genuine faith, we want to seek him every day. We want to go to him every day. So I want to go to my first point, which is examining ourselves and what that looks like. As I said, it's not condemning ourselves. It's not about that. It's about seeing, okay, taking a step back and seeing, okay, Lord, where is it built on? Where is my faith built on now? Let me take a step back and look. And obviously, we know salvation is a gift from God. So it's not about earning salvation. As we see in Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. So we can see we can't take credit for any of this. So when we examine ourselves, this is not now about, okay, a checklist. Now I have to do this. Then I'm sharp and I can earn salvation. It's already there. But now we have to know where we base ourselves on. And it's about finding where we're rooted in. Because we speak about trees and where a tree is rooted. Can the fruit just be produced if the tree is not rooted in something? If it's not rooted in soil, good soil, it can't produce fruit. And the fruit doesn't become before the tree, and the tree can't grow fruit if it's not rooted. So where are we rooted in? Are we rooted in Christ alone? Because when we're rooted in different, so if a tree is rooted in rocky soil and is rooted in good soil, it's like a mixture. It's going to be a funky fruit, like a funky tree, because it's not deeply rooted, and then the wind comes, vach, the tree is gone. It's not going to stand. It's not going to last. But when we are rooted as Christians deep into the Lord, deep into Christ, and storms come, they will come, they will come. Wind will come. But when it comes, we are rooted in Christ. We are there in Christ because we know our foundation is solid because He is solid. It's only built on Him, not on anything else, because there can be a church culture. Solid, thank you. Thank you, Joel. Church culture is there, the environment is there, but it's not sustainable. A preach is not sustainable. Only He is sustainable, and we go from there. This is the overflow of His love that we go from. And then the second point, and this is the not important, but where we have to look ourselves, is testing ourselves. And testing ourselves, not now we're going to go sit in an exam room and go write the test about ourselves. But what do I like? What is my hobby? It is saying, what is my desire? Is my desire to obey Him? Is Christ evident in my life? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? Or is it like, oh, I desire you on a Sunday, maybe on a Monday. When I'm watching sport, I desire Man United, but not you right now. But it should be every day, every single day, desiring Him. There's a thing called the paradox of love. That's something we did in Leap. And like a book, I'm not sure what book it was. But with the paradox of love, it is finding something, but still seeking it. So with this, in this context, it's finding Christ, finding God, and still seeking Him daily, still running after Him daily. Because we already found something beautiful, but now obviously want more of it, and more of it, and more of it. If you go to Philippians 3, verse 8 to 10, please. And it says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. So when I desire Him, I count everything else as garbage. My old life, garbage. What I used to like, garbage. Because when I desire Him, all I want is Him. It's not, oh, okay, Instagram, 60 hours of Instagram during the week or during like 4 days. It is Him alone that we should desire. Because when I say I desire Him, but I still go back to my old life, am I actually desiring Him? Or am I just saying it? Because it can be so easy to say, Lord, I desire You. But then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I still do the old things. There's an elder in Wellington. He used to say in Calm Keenan, he used to say, you can put blockers on your phone. You can do all these things. But if your heart, if your desire is not right, you will still go back to those things. You will still find a way to do your old stuff. So we have to change our desire towards Him and say, Lord, what is my desire? Because when I actually desire You, it's only You and nothing else. And is repentance a thing? You guys know what repentance is. Repentance isn't, Keenan also used to say, repentance isn't just coming, worship on Sunday, crying, and then going back. That is not repentance. Repentance isn't taking your garbage or my sin, laying it at His feet and being like, yes, Lord, but then taking my garbage back. That isn't. Repentance is turning to God, turning away, as we read in Matthew 3, verse 8. Matthew 3 verse 8 says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Turn to God. The action of repenting is turning to God, turning away from my old self, putting those things in the past and saying, I no longer desire you. You guys are garbage. I desire only Christ. That is what repentance is. And I know it's a thing that we have to practice daily and daily. It's a constant thing. It isn't a once-off, because we're not part-time Christians. Because if you were part-time Christians, surface-level children of the Lord, we would only do like, yeah, repentance on a Monday maybe, and then I'm good for the week. No, it is going at his feet and saying, Lord, I am weak. I am not strong. It's not about me. You are the center of my life. You reign over my life. So whether I mess up, I can go back to him. And it's not a condemning thing because he's not a condemning God. He's a loving father and he wants us back. He needs us. He doesn't need us. But he wants us. He wants to love us. His love is so big that he wants everyone to come. And then is Christ evident in my life? Is he evident in my life? Because when I walk into the shop, do I just hide away? It's like, oh, someone is saying Jesus' name in vain. It's like, ah, oh, shucks, I don't want to. No plani, shame. It's like, no, it's my God. And he also deserves to know and love him. So I'm going to go tell him about him. And is he evident in my life? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? The other day, it was so funny. We played a cricket match against Kiri Durbanville. There was this one coach. He was one of my school colleagues, also Edrich. And so this coach was very, like, he's very angry and like he likes to, he riles up people. And then he was throwing shouts at me. And then in my heart, I was like, yo, I can't deal with this. Like, boom, then I went to him and asked him, what does he want? Do you want to say something to me? And the conversation got a bit heated. But afterwards, yo, I felt so bad. I was like, okay, shucks. I did something wrong. I didn't practice self-control or patience because I ended up shouting at him. And then in my heart, I'm like, yo, Lord, I wronged you right now. And in my head, it's like, I can either go back to him and say, I'm sorry for how I handled it. I don't care if I was wrong or if I'm right. I just want to know that I am sorry for what I did and how I acted because it's not Christ-like. And that should be our mindset in everything is it Christ-like? Is Jesus, when he's next to me, is he going to be like, you can go for it. Go for it, my son. Go for it, my daughter. And with the fruit of the Spirit, we know it's self-control, love, patience, kindness. Is that evident in my life? And it's, again, not a thing of, okay, a checklist. Now I have to go work on my patience. I work with kids, so my patience gets tested every day, like every single day. But I love them because the Lord loves me. So, and it does get tested every single day. But I don't grow in patience with them. I grow in patience when I go spend time with the Lord. I grow when I'm with him in his presence. That's where we grow. Because you can't fill up your car at the gym. You fill up your car at a petrol station. Yeah, so we go to him, spend time in his presence to grow there, and then we go out. And then, as I'm coming in for a landing, my last point, the good news. The good news. So then, after all of this, where does that leave us? Where does that put us? And then what is genuine faith, actually? Is it now just, okay, I have to be sorted now. On a Sunday and a Wednesday, I can go to Com, say, Lord, I love you, and then back. Or as an everyday devotion, a constant thing every single day, waking up and saying, Lord, I desire you. Because at the end of the day, faith isn't from us. It's in him, and he gives it out. So we have to spend time with him, go to him, spend time with his presence. So if I could summarize all of this in one, it's all about him. It's not about us. Sorry to spoil, but it's not about us. It's about him, always about him. He's at the center. He reigns over our life. And when we say that, when we have weak faith, we know that we have a strong Savior. So we can go to him to find that. And then as we go deeper, a genuine faith, you know, it's like a key. It unlocks a deeper relationship with him. It just goes further and further. It's not just, boom, I'm here now. Is there anything else? It's the Lord says, no, there's more. Come and step. Come and step. When people always say, step into the more, I'm like, yo, what does that mean? Is it just something? So there's this thing Christian needs. And when people say like all these words, the lead people will know. But they use it a lot. It's like when we use Christian, you step into the more. It's like, what does that actually mean? Yeah, like, what does step into the more? It's like, must I not just walk into the more? What is the more actually? But when we say that, he's spending time in his presence, going with him, him leading us. That is the more. And when we will see, when we spend time with him more and more, when you're in his presence more and more, self-control will just come. Patience will come. Kindness, loving will just come because we're spending time with him. So we're looking more like him. Because if I don't go to the gym, am I going to look big? Probably not. I have to actually go to the gym to go get big. And it's a process as well as a relationship with Christ. It's a process. We go to him. We go to him. I think in a generation, as my generation, we want quick success. We're like, boom, if something doesn't happen now, I don't want it. So I can practice guitar for 10 minutes. If I don't sound like Quibbers, then it's like, nah, I don't want to play it anymore because I'm not that good. But it's a process. It's a step-by-step process. And walking with someone, and that's the beauty of a church, being part of a church. It's a community. We're walking together. Because if you do this on our own, it's going to get like, yo, I can't see anything. Because you're walking on our own. But when you're walking with people, it just gets more and more. That's the more. And then with the relationship, if you even peel more back, if you go back, take a step back, a relationship with Christ, what does that even look like? What do we know about Jesus? We know that God sent his only son to this earth to come take all our sins and die on a cross. And 3 days later rose again to claim victory over death. So when we don't know that, when we don't know him, it won't take us a bit further into that. Because then we don't know him. We don't know Jesus. But when we know that he died on the cross for us, when we know that he loves us so much that he took on all our sins and set us free from the shackles of death, we know that there's more with him. So a relationship with him, it's not just a, and then it's, shab, I'm lekker. But it's a father calling us. When we come to Christ, we shouldn't be clean. We shouldn't be already in luck. We know what we do. There's this picture of a son being muddy and snotty and playing outside. And then his father's like, come to me, run to me, my son. I'll take you to go get clean. It's not a thing of, okay, now I have to go sort out my life before I come to Christ. No, again, weak faith, strong Savior. So when we go to him, we build up our faith because our faith is in him and built on him. So when we don't have a relationship with him, then what? Where does that leave us? And I'm going to just say it plainly now. Get to it. Try Jesus in 2026. Try Jesus. Because, I mean, what do we have to lose? I mean, there's nothing else. Nah? So try Jesus. Get to know him. And so if you guys could close your eyes with us and...